This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Mr. Durham, I know you've been traveling, had Falcons preseason. You'll be back in the basement tomorrow. I hope you had a good weekend.
Fine. Thanks, Pack. And get out of my chair, okay?
Keeping it warm for you. I'm keeping it warm for you.
No, everything is good. I appreciate it. Yeah, interesting weekend. Just to kind of get now inside of these 2 weeks to the excitement of college football is real this morning. People want camp reports. They want depth charts. They want to know about the rookies. They want to know about the recruiting. They want to know, hey, is that veteran quarterback we were excited about at the end of last year? What kind of preseason practice is he having? And our ACC football road trip is in Miami tonight at 7 o'clock, and that is followed by the first installment of All Access on ACC with Miami football. So we're excited to show you that here on the network tonight. But, yeah, a good weekend and kind of ready to get the countdown here into full swing. But happy second anniversary, Pack. 2 years ago today, at this moment, we were gathered in the basement and we were doing our first television version of Packer and Durham.
Yes. And at that point in time, we realized, oh, my God, we're really doing this. I mean, at least that's what was going through my head, because we had talked about it. And after obviously very strenuous contractual negotiations with ESPN, we finally got our deal signed. And then there was the that took about, I don't know, 6, 7, maybe 8 minutes. And then we had the buildup, right? We knew this was going to happen. And it was just like, oh, my goodness. Are we going to really put this thing on television? And, of course, the studio here at the house, we went through a major transformation of what this room looked like prior to what it now looks like. Because it used to be one big old, you know, leather couch, a place for the dogs. I had some shelves that were basically right here. And that was it. There was an air conditioning unit over here in the corner where the Sirius XM84 show now takes place. And I mean to tell you, this was a bachelor pad is basically what this room was prior to this show getting started was Mrs. Packer saying, honey, I love you, but take all your junk downstairs and put it in that room that you and the dogs like to hang out in. And that's what it was. I mean, so I did the radio show from here.
Yeah.
And it had all my stuff. I mean, it looked like Sanford and Son for a 1970s reference. It's what this room looked like. And when ESPN said, hey, we got this idea on this ACC network to put you and Wes and do a television show from where you do your radio show, I looked at them as if they had 11 eyes. Like, oh, yeah, sure, that's a great idea. That got no chance. I said, have you guys seen where I do the radio show? I said, it looks like a bachelor pad, like a college, you know, dorm room. And so I'll never forget, Wes, ESPN sent over, I don't know, half dozen people to look at this room for the first time. And I knew it was going to be, I didn't even try to clean it up because I mean, it was just, there was no need to. And when they rolled in here and opened up the French doors, I was just watching their body language because I'm like, how are they going to do a television show in this tiny space down here? And they opened up the doors and walked in, and I remember watching them just to study their body language, and they didn't flinch. And I said, see, I told you, pretty tight in here. God, I was thinking, man, are they nuts? Are they crazy? How are you going to do a television show from my basement? And so they walked around, and they're measuring the ceiling and the width and the length and what is this air conditioning? It looked like, the thing that landed on Mars. I mean, it took up 8 feet over here in the corner. You can't even see it. And they were looking at it. I said, see, it's pretty tight. And they were like, oh, no. You got plenty of room. And I was floored. I mean, I was totally floored. And so they spent a couple hours. And like I said, they measured every inch. And they got up and left. And I remember walking upstairs. And Amy, my wife, was waiting for me. And I was almost like, I was blown away. Like, what are they talking about? And she goes, well, was it as bad as you thought? I said, you're not going to believe this. I said, those experts from ESPN, they said there's plenty of room. And she goes, that's impossible. I said, I want to see this happen. So by the time we signed our contracts and we knew that this day was coming 2 years ago, the entire summer down here, they had to schedule construction of this place and the laying of cables and all the electronic equipment around my radio schedule. So, it was like for months and months and months, I would come downstairs and for the radio show and just watch the transformation of this room from going like a college dorm room into really the ultimate studio. And of course, this was all before COVID and Everybody doing shows from home. So we were really kind of cutting edge without trying to be cutting edge. But man, ESPN did a brilliant job transforming this room into what it is today. So I will never forget that first show, literally two years ago right now. And like I said, the first thing that hit me when those lights popped up was, oh my God, we're actually doing the show. Like you never thought we're ever going to get there, but we finally did. And it is obviously fake left and going right here for the last 2 years and continue to develop. And of course, the distribution of the program continues to expand as we speak. And hopefully, who knows where this bad boy is going to go. But it's been a crazy, wild 2 years. And so here we go. Year number three, get started.
Yep, and good show for you today. We're excited to have Joe Zagacki on, the voice of the Miami Hurricanes. Since it's the Miami road trip, we thought we'd catch up with the radio voice of the U and get his thoughts on what's happened so far in preseason practice. That's at 8 o'clock. Nicole Auerbach from The Athletic, of course, who kind of led the charge on Friday's news of the alliance potentially with more details this week, perhaps. Will join us at 9 o'clock from Chicago. So look forward to hearing from Nicole, and we'll show you a tease on the All Access event tonight that airs at 7:45. I think you'll like it. It's really an insightful look. It's just a two-parter. It takes you through Miami's preseason expectations, preseason practices, that kind of thing, as it leads up to the Alabama game, which comes up in now what 12 days, I guess, right? A week from Saturday on the 4th. By the way, the element of the first show, I got significantly more sleep last night than I did the first show because I was on the way back from Atlanta doing a preseason game to do that first show, and I think I got about 3 hours. So I'm in good shape today. I slept like Packer the night of the first show.
I was going to say 3 hours, a pretty good night. I'd sign up for three right now, not asking questions. Hey, Wes, I went through the old archives. These are the show notes for number one. That's show number one show notes right there.
We had 15 guests from 15 schools, right?
Yeah, the first two shows. And I know there were, people were sending me notes. Are you guys just going to do nothing but interviews? And I said, no, we're kind of like the guinea pigs at first because we're, you got to keep in mind, all the ACC schools spent millions upon millions upon millions of dollars on these state-of-the-art studios. So when we started the live show, of course, keep in mind that the network launched the night before, and then we did our first show the next morning, which was a Friday. And so we had all these guests lined up just to make sure, hey, does the Louisville studio work? Does the Boston? So we had nothing but guests for the Friday and the Monday shows. And I remember getting all these emails going, Pack, why are you guys even there? I mean, were you just going to do interviews? I'm like, hey, we got to test out all this stuff. This is a high wire act. And of course, it morphed into what we're doing now. So, but I'll never forget that first show though. And I remember Commissioner John Swofford coming on the program. And one of the things that ESPN had discussed with us, and they were like, now, listen, we want the dogs there. And we're like, well, you want Chester and Fuller on the set? Oh, yeah, just like you'd normally do your radio show. I said, oh, okay. I said, the dogs do bark. We don't care. And so I'll never forget Commissioner John Swofford, because the ACC Network was really his baby. And he comes on, Wes, to do the interview with us, the very first show. And about halfway through it, apparently there was a squirrel or something running wild right outside the door, and Fuller and Chester started going ballistic. And I'm thinking to myself, this is a great sign. We're doing our very first show on ACC Network. We got the boss on, and we can't hear a thing because Chester and Fuller are going bonkers. Now, of course, they have morphed into what they're doing right now, and that is lounging peacefully as Chester's on the Roger Goodell chair and Fuller is looking for Buddy West. But I still never forget that John Swofford interview and Chester and Fuller going nuts. And I kept thinking to myself, oh, my gosh, are we going to make it through the very first show? How in the world is this going to work? But here we are, 2 years into it, and it's been fun. And all the people really behind the scenes, quite frankly, we get in front of it. But all the hard work is done by the smart people in Bristol and everybody else who had the vision for this to be really the showcase show, if you will, leading things off each and every day on ACC Network. So we appreciate everybody's hard work and efforts, and here we go. See where it goes.
All right. We, by the way, are excited about football starting 12 days from today in Raleigh and some other locations on that Thursday night. But more importantly, Raleigh is the spot. And the schedule kicks off on Friday night right here on ACC Network when NC State hosts South Florida at Carter-Finley Stadium, and it starts a huge weekend. Now, the games highlighted are the ones you're going to be able to see here on ACCN. Needless to say, Friday night in Blacksburg on ESPN at 6 o'clock, number 10 North Carolina and Virginia Tech. And then the weekend just gets bigger, Pack, after that.
Well, let me correct you, because I don't want to go to Raleigh 12 days from now and look around and say, where's Wes? Where's Tuffy? 10 days, Wes. 10 days.
Ten days from now.
Yeah. Let's get it right, because I don't want to walk into Carter-Finley and the place is empty and there's no dog. No wolf pup. I'll be bummed out. I have all those Bojangles biscuits in my pocket going, man, I guess I'll have to eat all these driving home. 10 days from today, we will be live from Raleigh. I still don't know where we're going to be. I'm hoping it's Carter-Finley or at Tuffy's house or Dorn's backyard doing the Yellowstone impersonation. But we will be in Raleigh in 10 days. But it's go time. I mean, week zero starts this week in college football. Doesn't involve anybody in the ACC. But next week, it's absolutely go time. And I think everybody's ready to roll. I mean, I just think, I know the pandemic's still going on. We got COVID issues you got to be smart about. Again, be smart about. But I think everybody is fired up for football.
Yep. And we've talked about kind of in the run-up here through the summer how important that first week is to a lot of teams. But when you take the schedule as a whole and you look at the way the ACC has built this schedule, given the depth and the experience level that returns after what was obviously a crazy 2020, that's where we're excited about the upcoming season for sure. So anxious to get started. 10 days from Raleigh, 12 days from kickoff. We get the 2021 campaign underway. So all good stuff, as they say. All good stuff. Good show coming up. We're going to dive into an ACC scheduling note in week one that is pretty solid. In addition to some of the games that are also coming up. Bobby Bowden in Florida State used to say anytime, anywhere, right? So did Miami. Clemson's played some big games in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there are more of those coming next on Packer and Durham. Good morning on a Monday.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. I'm just keeping Wes's seat warm. He'll be back right here tomorrow. Robert over here feeding peanut butter treats when the boys wake up. Otto's back in the Christmas decoration room. We'll get Wes in here and the band will be put together. It is our second year anniversary. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. And Wes, as you pointed out, 10 days away from the start of the 21 ACC football season. And we will be live from Raleigh, North Carolina. And looking forward to all the festivities and everything. And I think everybody, like I said, America kind of gets into a flow and a rhythm for a football season. And given what everybody's been through this crazy year, I think we all cannot wait for kickoff.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. But the headliner is in Charlotte on the 4th at 7:30 when Georgia and Clemson meet. On ABC, it'll be the fifth time that two AP top five teams have squared off in week one in the last 25 years. And of those five matchups, three of them have involved the Atlantic Coast Conference. Here are the five, and you see Penn State and the Desert Swarm of Arizona. Remember Dick Tomey's team back in the late 90s, Pack? They came east to play Georgia Tech a few years prior to that. Then you had number five, Miami, number four, Florida State, 2004. Ooh-wee. Then 2017, number three, Florida State, number one, Alabama. And, of course, Clemson and Georgia in 12 days in Uptown Charlotte.
You know, big games, eyeballs, it just means more when you got more. So the ACC, well represented in those five, as you pointed out, Wes. But, you know, it's one thing to schedule. It's another thing to win. right? And I think it's one of the issues the ACC has moving forward. We know what Clemson's all about. They've kind of established themselves as one of the elite along with Alabama. And if you want to throw somebody else in there, that's fine. But you know what? Those two are on the short list. Now it's up for everybody else in the Atlantic Coast Conference to find, hey, how do we catch Clemson? How do we get into that elite status and become relevant from a national perspective? One way you do it is scheduling. The other way you absolutely do it is by winning the games of note. As we've talked about, there's only one way to change a narrative, and that is to win, period.
Yeah. These games that we're talking about here, that 2004 Miami-Florida State game, now, this is a pretty good scenario of why, you know, we joke sometimes when we go into the history machine about the divisions in the ACC pack. Well, remember how big a game this was in 2004, right? Miami's first game as a member of the ACC. They defeated Florida State 16-10. But, see, this is what everybody thought was going to happen on an annual basis when the Canes and Noles were thrown in the Coastal and the Atlantic.
Yeah, we thought this was basically a precursor of the next 25 years in the ACC football championship game, right? I mean, we just thought two divisions, Florida State's on one side. Bobby Bowden's got a dominant team. Virginia Tech was really good, too, as that was getting ready to happen and taking place with Frank Beamer's guys. And you got Miami on the other side. We just assumed, all of us assumed, right? It's just like listening to people pontificate about the Alliance. You assume until you know the facts. We all assumed that we're going to get Florida State Miami on almost a semi, you know, consistent basis. We are now sitting here in the year 2021, and we've never seen the game. Never seen the game. And Miami's only been there one time. Mm-hmm. But at the time, you were thinking, oh, man, Miami, Florida State, the games have been so awesome. They dominated the 90s. You throw Steve Spurrier in there at Florida as well. The championship ran through the state of Florida in some shape, way, or form. No disrespect, Nebraska. But, man alive, you just assume that that's what we were going to get. Again, fake left, go right. Every time you think you know something, here comes a curveball.
Yep. The ball game in 2017 we mentioned with Florida State and Alabama, now that ended up, that created a real issue because Florida State was just – manhandled in the ball game. DeAndre Francois got hurt in the contest at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and the bloom came off the rose, if you will, for what Jimbo Fisher and Florida State were doing.
I was at this game, Wes, and the hype and the lead into this was awesome. I mean, it was just great. Bama, Florida State, two incredible brands, and I'm with you. You know, when Francois got hurt, you know, Florida State never found their footing the rest of the way. And quite frankly, they've just never been the same since that game. And, of course, Bama's done their Bama thing where they have always been a national championship contender. And Florida State, again, for Mike Norvell and company, this is a work in progress. Curious to see what they do in their opener on Sunday night leading into Labor Day weekend against Notre Dame. But the Noles were never the same team from that point forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right about that. By the way, I will note we didn't put this in the list because it was 39 years ago, not 25 years ago. North Carolina and Pittsburgh played a CBS Sports Labor Day night game in 1982. You remember this, Pack, at Three Rivers Stadium, and Pitt beat Carolina 7-6. 7-6 in 1982 on Labor Day night. And, yeah, Dan Marino, 125 yards of passing and four interceptions, but both defenses were so good that night. I mean, both defenses were out of sight. That's why the score was what the score was at the end of the ball game.
I was a sophomore at Clemson University, and I think we had just finished losing at Georgia. I got to look that date up again. So I'll be honest with you, Wes, at that particular time in my life, I didn't care about Pitt or North Carolina. I was a Clemson sophomore and trying to figure out a way to break 80 on the golf team, and who knows what else was going on that campus, which I can't talk about on air. But nevertheless, we've had some great games. But I do think it's interesting, though. Of course, the AP expanded to 25 teams in 1989, but the fact that we've only had five week one games involving preseason top five teams is kind of interesting. You would assume, I would at least have assumed, that we would have had more of those matchups right. early. But, you know, scheduling's a tricky thing. You never know with that.
Yeah. No, it's exactly right. That's the part about it is that game, that was a 9 o'clock start on CBS, by the way. 9 o'clock.
it
was CBS College Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Oh, prime time. Why not?
Yeah. Hey,
everybody watch.
September 9th, and I remember it being the first game, too, Pac. I mean, real quick. Pittsburgh had Dan Marino. Here was the offensive line. Jimbo Covert was at one tackle. Bill Frelick, Rob Feda, the wide receivers were Julius Dawkins. Tight end was John Brown. The defensive line was pretty solid, as you might imagine. Bill Moss, remember, I think was a pro. Dave Pizzulli. They had unbelievable football team. And for that matter, so did Carolina. You know who coached Pitt that night? Foge Fazio.
I worked with Foge. First job out of college. He wasn't there long, but I worked with him. I remembered Pitt's old stadium, yeah. too, now. One of my first jobs, real quick, Wes, this is funny. One of my first jobs, mm-hmm. well, in fact, my sure. first job out of college was with a company called TEN Sports. And we had the football and basketball yeah. rights to Pitt, West Virginia, Notre Dame, Syracuse. So every weekend, I lived in New York City, every Thursday, I'm flying to one of those places. And at Pitt, their old stadium, it's no longer there. I had the TEN banners. Mm-hmm. Remember, everybody used to love when CBS would come to town or ESPN or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Steal the banner.
You'd steal the banner, right? That was always the deal. Could you steal the banner? So there was a fraternity house. If you were sitting in the press box, the old Pitt Stadium, to the left side. Well, I don't know what end zone that was. But there was a frat house up on the hill. And I remember walking over there and said, hey, boys, y'all need to do me a favor. I'll work out a deal with you. If you can hang these two TEN sports banners outside your window, because they'd be like, yeah, man, we're doing that. Of course, everybody's having a few beverages or seven in Pittsburgh. And so sure enough, that used to be my tradition to go to that frat house for a Pitt home game, and the TEN sports banners are hanging out. And I said, now listen, if you guys are hanging out the window protecting this banner, man, you're going to get all kinds of national television love. And sure enough, every time we cut to those banners, those morons are hanging out the window going crazy. And I said, those are my guys. Here we go. So that was the deal. Trying to figure out where to put the TEN sports banners each and every week, every time we road tripped. There you go.
Unbelievable. That was a great ball. That was a great ball game, by the way. 1982 to get the season started. Pittsburgh ended up having a great year. Carolina had an 8-4 year. Man, those were two great teams. Carolina had Kelvin Bryant. William Fuller on the defensive line, Willie Harris in the secondary. I mean, they just had great football team.
Wes, I told you, the ACC.
7-6.
The ACC in those days had a three-headed monster of Maryland with Bobby Ross, who had great teams. Boomer Esiason, all those dudes. Danny Ford, for a good football team. And Dick Crum up there at Carolina. And, I mean, I'm telling you what, those three were beast. Those games were so good every year for really the first half of the century, the first half of the decade, excuse me. Man, those ACC teams were out of sight. Really good. Fun football. Excellent.
When we come back, we will dive into thanks, Coach. We will dive into the news of the weekend regarding the Alliance. Not a lot when we left you from Friday has developed over the last 48 hours, but nonetheless, what is ahead for the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the Atlantic Coast Conference as it relates to the new world of college football? It's next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
It's a Monday. It's our second anniversary. Year three underway. Here we go. What are we going to get? One of the things that everybody's speculating about, Wes, has nothing to do with our show, but the Alliance. And
that's right.
And I emphasize the word speculating. We do not know the details until something is announced, even though there are some people apparently that they really know what's going on. And, hey, I'll just wait for the announcement. I got plenty of time. We got kickoff in 10 days. Week zero is upon us. But the Alliance is a major, major story as we speak.
Yeah, the thing that came out on Friday from Nicole Auerbach, and I think that obviously she and Max Olson have led the charge from The Athletic. David Hale, Andrew Adelson have done some tremendous work. In fact, David Hale had a great piece on Friday on ESPN.com talking about kind of trying to tie all the different lines together. And again, that's kind of where we are. We're trying to put all these – a year ago, we were trying to put all these lines together to play football. Now we're putting all these different lines together to see where they end up for the future of football. And Mark, it struck me over the weekend – I know you and I chatted about this a little bit on Saturday. It struck me over the weekend that now we have no idea what the Alliance is. We have a lot of speculation about the Alliance. We have confirmation from George Klevikoff. We have confirmation from athletic director Sandy Barber, I thought, of Penn State, who certainly is involved in this, had a really interesting comment, not talking about the scheduling. And she said, quote, "I'm not trying to downplay the importance of value as it relates to upsizing our revenues. That's certainly important. But that's not the only reason the Alliance is coming to shape. I think there's some reasons around like-mindedness that would be very valuable to the conference." And this is the part that I find really curious when it comes to opinions that are offered on other platforms by people who really don't have a genuine interest in this product, telling you that it's embarrassing and things of that nature. Because in reality, what the Alliance is doing is it's trying to move its path ahead in the world of college athletics. And it's three like-minded conferences that are going to work on this. So for somebody to make the comment of it being embarrassing, well, I don't know how it can be embarrassing when you don't know what it is to start with, because we haven't heard the details yet. So to form an opinion on something you have no idea what it is seems to me to be kind of ridiculous.
Actually, that's embarrassing, but that's somebody else's problem. These three leagues apparently are moving forward. Announcement could be this week, could be next week. There have been all kinds of stories written about what it may include. We don't know what it is until it's announced. But I do think, Wes, that one of the things that Sandy Barber was pointing out, follow the money, you'll get an answer to a question. But it does appear that it goes a little beyond that. One of the things we talked about last week was AAU. And I know there's a lot of folks that roll their eyes and, oh, academics. Hey, no disrespect. We're talking about academic institutions here. And when she started talking about, you know, the singleness between these three respective leagues, when you got 40% of the AAU, and keep in mind, these are academic institutions. Yeah, we play football and basketball and tennis and golf and all that stuff too. But I think when you've got the movers and shakers at the highest level of three leagues that go, you know what, we have a lot of similarities amongst ourselves. And given the changing landscape, which we are currently in, right now, and there's nobody that can argue that, I think these three are getting together in the sense that, hey, yeah, we can talk about scheduling and what revenue can be generated from that, which is all fine and good for all three of those respective parties. But governance also comes into play. We talked about power and the ability to say, hey, you know what, we don't think it should go in that direction. Or, hey, we agree, this is a great idea moving forward. We don't know how these three are going to work. There will be, I'm sure, issues down the road once they sign the deal, where quite frankly, maybe two of the three say, hey, we want to go left. The other guy wants to go right. There will be disagreements and differences. But I think at the very top, from the academic standpoint moving down, these three leagues do kind of match up perfectly, quite frankly.
Well, absolutely. And I think that conversation is, as you said last week, it's easy to start having when everybody at the top is already on the same page.
Yep.
And I think that it shows great foresight from Jim Phillips and Kevin Warren and George Klevikoff to get in this conversation. You know, we don't know where it's going to head. We've speculated on scheduling. Heck, we speculated on matchups last week that would be fun to see if this actually happens. Hopefully we get more details this week. Maybe it's the first of next week. I don't know. But the idea that these three leagues are working together to create a future for themselves on the college landscape that is continuing to evolve, I think is very, very good. I don't find it embarrassing at all. I find it as three leagues that are working together to try and continue to forge their wealth and their worth in what is the evolving world we're in. And you said this months ago, and you get full credit on this. Nobody knew what college athletics was going to go through when we started down this road out of the pandemic. We knew NIL was on the approach. We knew there were other things happening. It just so happened that in July, in June, the 12-team playoff was proposed, a working proposal. In July, the rumor broke that Oklahoma and Texas were going to go to the Southeastern Conference. Now that's been approved for membership. And now you're seeing, is it a reactionary piece? Sure. There's some of that in this, I'm sure. But we haven't heard any confirmed commentary from Kevin Warren, Jim Phillips, or George Klevikoff about the logic and the origination of this, much like we haven't heard any conversation from Greg Sankey or anybody with Oklahoma and Texas about the origination of their relationship. So I would just say everybody needs to wait and let details and information unfold here so we can get to what the future of college athletics is, see the pros and the cons. And yes, the fact that it ties to what potentially could be a $1 billion situation with the college football playoff is very interesting. But we're in a wait and see situation. We can't form an opinion until we know exactly what the details are. We can speculate, which we've done, but we can't form any opinion until we hear from the parties that are in charge of this.
Well, I will go back on my radio show Friday. Shane Lyons, who's the director of athletics at West Virginia, who's got ACC ties. He was with the ACC office for a decade. And you can only imagine, like, when we start talking about where is this thing going, whether it be the Alliance, Oklahoma, Texas going to the SEC, which I've told you I thought was a win-win for all parties involved. Brilliant move. But if you got the, if you're the Big 12, Wes, and just talking to Shane on Friday, he was disappointed to hear the news about the Alliance. That's what he said on the show. Because basically he now puts, you know, a guy like himself, West Virginia, who had a lot of speculation about, hey, West Virginia in the ACC, does that make sense? I don't know. I mean, folks will figure that thing out one way or the other. But, you know, the Big 12 has got to figure out a way, all right, where do we fall into this? We didn't get a phone call to join any conversations, apparently, of this Alliance, which is going to be supposedly formed and announced next week or later this week. They weren't asked to join the Southeastern Conference. Oklahoma and Texas decided to leave their league, called Greg Sankey. Greg said, sure, let's go. And again, their league's in a great spot there. You know, it's going to be fascinating to watch the ebb and flow. There are a lot, in my opinion, there are a lot of schools that do not fall under the category of the ACC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the SEC that are certainly, number one, committed, viable, right, would fit in a league if asked. And who knows if the Big 12 can survive, you know, without Oklahoma and Texas. Do they merge with the American Athletic Conference? Do they add some teams? Or play? I mean, who knows where this thing's going to go? So I think anytime you hear a talking head or anybody else that goes, let me tell you exactly what's going to happen, or this is a terrible one, hey, take a deep breath. This is a work in progress. I mean, even folks amongst the Alliance had been saying, hey, we still have a lot of work to do. We're not exactly sure what direction it's going to go. We still have conversations and meetings to take place. So for anybody that gives you an opinion on the Alliance being the greatest thing since sliced bread or an embarrassment, hey, chill out. We got plenty of time until the announcement's made, and then we'll see where this goes. I mean, I'm sure there are already folks going, well, the Alliance is going to be formed so we don't expand the playoff from 4 to 8 to 12 to whatever. How do you know? I mean, you have no earthly idea how that's going to play out yet. Now, granted, we're going to find out late September when everybody gets together, Alliance or no Alliance, Oklahoma, Texas, and the SEC, or not. I mean, whatever. We will get a better feel late September where the college football playoff's going to go. But make no mistake, whether you're Shane Lyons at West Virginia, whether you're Jim Phillips at the ACC, Greg Sankey at the SEC, everybody's getting their ducks in a row because everybody realizes the landscape is changing right now. And when you throw in the NCAA and what they're going to turn out to be, who knows what that is? They've got their committee formed. They'll get together in November, hopefully figure that thing out. This, as I said this the other day, it's the most fascinating time in the history of college athletics because we know it's changing. We just don't know what path we're going down yet, but it's coming. But man, this is a crazy time. It really is. It's a great time to do radio and television shows or cover it in media in some shape, way, or form, because we'll look back 50 years, 100 years from now and go, man, how about the early '20s? We're going through a pandemic, COVID, and look what happened to college athletics. It will be completely different than what you grew up with. That I promise. That's a guaranteed lock. Totally different.
Yeah. There's no question. Don't forget the details on the alliance and things like that. Probably if Nicole and Max and their reporting from Friday, the details, if we get it sometime in the next 10 days to 2 weeks, the September 28th date is that college football playoff meeting, Pac, you were talking about. So that's late September. We'll find out there where the proposal stands. Who knows if we'll get any finality then of that, right? I mean, that's the other part to keep in mind. There's a chance that that group says, hey, look, we're still going to keep working here.
Well, they have time. I mean, you know, the finish line isn't September 28th. I mean, if you happen to get there and you can figure out a combination with your television partners and everybody's on board, great, knock yourself out if everybody's in agreement. But you have time to figure it out. And I think that's one of the things that's happened since the Oklahoma-Texas announcement with the SEC and now this alliance. I think everybody just said, whoa, 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 we're going so fast. Let's just take a deep breath, take inventory, and figure this thing out. You don't have to have an answer in 21. You know, maybe the answer comes 2 years down the road. You still have to work with your television partner. I say this all the time. You want an answer to the question, follow the money. The guy that writes the biggest check is going to have some say-so on how this thing's going to play out. Guarantee that, man. That's been the case since Dirt. Seriously, since Dirt.
Well, we'll see what happens. Nicole Auerbach joins us at 9 o'clock. We'll get more thoughts from her about maybe what transpires here in the near future as opposed to maybe what we find out a month ago. But we will we'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour. On the other side of this, Miami is the site of the ACC Network football road trip today, but it's also the site of tonight's premiere of ACC All Access with the Miami Hurricanes. Manny Diaz and his football team getting ready to meet number one Alabama. The preseason practice grind with the U is next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. The Packer and Durham Podcast.
Don't forget the first part of the two-part series, All Access with the Miami football team, is your unprecedented behind-the-scenes look into Manny Diaz and the Hurricanes program as they prepare for the 2021 season. You'll get never-before-seen footage and sounds from practices, workouts, scrimmages, and other activities. Part one tonight, right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app at 8 o'clock. Part two airs next Wednesday night, September 1st at 8 o'clock. Here is a sneak preview of what you can expect from All Access with Miami football.
All right, I hope everybody had a good recovery this morning. Make sure we're on airplane mode, locked in, ready to go.
But I want to really unpack something. We had a conversation this morning in the defensive staff room. I really want to unpack emotional toughness. Because, guys, external pressures put on you all, we recognize as a coaching staff. And golf, to me, is such a great example of emotional toughness. It's just the ball. It's just sitting there. So it's you and your what?
Mind.
And your mind. And your thoughts. Y'all know what I'm talking
about? Yeah.
Justin.
Yes, sir.
Let's cancel meetings. We're going to Topgolf.
Who would put a car dealership next to a Topgolf?
Hey, get this on camera right now. Just right here.
Tiger,
yeah. Oh, no, you almost kicked the thing off. All right, buddy, do it again.
What I hit?
Got the ball.
Hey, what?
Are y'all getting it? It's already on Instagram Live, so...
Ah!
Hey, Dodo, game on the line.
Game on the line.
Give me that here.
Yo, scenario. You gotta pass the yellow.
Yellow.
Yellow. You down 2 points.
Not bad. You want to turn your hips, and that'll make the ball inside out. If anything, it'll go right.
Coach Diaz got gloves, shoes, golf clubs. They were mentally and physically prepared for this.
Yeah. We got Jimmy the boot.
Got the boot on.
Hello. The ball in the air.
Them boys fighting. Welcome to camp.
So good. You know, I didn't realize that does Sir Nick Faldo know Manny's talking about hip swings and rotations? I mean, you know, I know Manny's worried about winning football games and taking care of business Miami football, but there could be a future down the road when Sir Nick's had enough that Manny Diaz comes in there and starts giving you swing techniques. That's nice.
You know, Let's fully admit that the best golfer on the Packer and Durham staff is Drew Brooks, right? The amateur champion of the West Hartford Open.
That is true.
He wasn't a college golfer at Clemson like you were.
No,
who's been on ice for 24 years.
Right, not hit a bad shot.
But I would offer this to you, Manny Diaz showing up with the Adidas golf glove and having his gear ready to ride at the Top Golf. Okay, I see you, Coach. I see you. I'm telling you, Top Golf is like modern-day bowling, Pack. Everybody loves to go, don't they? I mean, whether you can play or not, everybody loves to go.
You know, the fact that there were some dudes that couldn't make contact, to me, is a good sign, right? I've always said, man, you show me a dude that's a really good golfer, I tell you, that's a guy that's not working too hard in his job because it takes so much time to figure out what to get that thing going forward. But I'm looking forward to all access in Miami. There's huge expectations.
Yep.
First game against Alabama, you'll find out exactly where you are, big picture. The fact that Rambo couldn't make contact hitting the ball, I know he's going to catch it. The Canes will be an interesting lot. There's a lot of folks that believe they are the team that's going to win the Coastal. I know there's all this Miami-North Carolina thing going back and forth. They'll see each other in the middle of October, but looking forward to having Joe Zagacki, by the way, coming up at the top of the hour, the voice of the Canes, and he'll give us a better insight of what to expect. But this is a big day for Miami on ACC Network. Tours rolling in there at 7, all access at 8 p.m. It's going to be good stuff.
We will ask Joe about the second scrimmage. Manny Diaz offered these comments about the mindset of his football team after that second scrimmage over the weekend.
You've got to come together now, so you know, spring ball, summer workouts, the first 2 weeks of training camp, it's really, you know, it's about the improvement of the individual player, okay? As if you took a car, took all the parts apart, you know, and you're trying to get every part to be as good as you can. Now you gotta build the machine back together again to go take it on the road. We know we've got a formidable challenge in week one, so we've got to look at our roster, look at the performances in the scrimmage, the individual performances, and say, okay, who can we put in what role to accomplish the mission that we have to accomplish week one, week two, week three, all the way to week 12 to get ourselves in Charlotte. So that's what the coaches will be spending the next 48 hours doing. And like I said, we've got some good we got some good work in tonight. I'm excited about where we're at.
Fired up.
There you
Let's go. Miami Hurricanes.
Hope he keeps the beard, Pack. Hope we keep the beard.
You know, I don't know about that. There's some guys can pull it off. Of course, you know, Manny could shave this morning and by 5 o'clock this afternoon have that beard right there. I mean, Manny's got that DNA to make that happen. Some guys look better clean cut. Some guys look great as a sailor. You know, listen, when Roy Williams had the beard, I thought Roy could pull it off, right? I mean, when you saw Roy Williams for the first time with the beard, you're like, man, he looks like the captain. Manny looks like, hey, let's get to work. You know he's fired up. When he joined us last week and we were kidding around about Alabama, he said, Pack, you don't mind if we have a couple more weeks of practice? I said, oh, no, you got it. Tag, you're it. But, listen, the folks in South Florida are always excited. But, man, they had a lot of talent coming back on this football team. And like I said, you find out exactly where you are when you take on number one in week one.
Yep. There you go. Miami and Alabama, 3:30 ABC from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, all part of the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic in downtown Atlanta. We roll on here. Miami, one of many schools that the spotlight is going to have involving the ACC. You know about Clemson, Georgia. You know about Miami. Alabama, you know about North Carolina, Virginia Tech on the conference side. Then you got Florida State on a Sunday night. And then, of course, Louisville and Ole Miss on Labor Day night. Pack, the other schools also got to get off to good starts. NC State, we talked about being in Raleigh, right? Coming up a week from Thursday. Wake Forest needs to get off to good starts. Comprehensively, you want to see this league take a step in the opening weekend.
You're right. And while all the eyes will be on the quote-unquote big games, I think there's big games for this league when you start talking about Syracuse at Ohio. And I know you're laughing at me going, Pat, mm-hmm. what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. When you're Syracuse coming off really two disappointing years, you open at Ohio. Is that a national championship game? No. Is it a primetime game? No. Is it going to have effect on the college football playoff standings? Probably not. But when you need to get the program rocking and rolling again with Dino Babers, coming off the year you had and the fact that the Carrier Dome is going to be open for fans and you open on the road, I think that is a critical game for Syracuse. To, number one, get a win, remember what it feels like, and then, all right, let's take it on, let's bring it back home. Here comes Rutgers, et cetera, and start building some momentum. I'd say the same thing for Duke. You know, we talked about the Blue Devils a little bit last week.
Yeah,
they open up at Charlotte. It's the kind of game coming off for the year that you had, and, you know, everybody's got a quarterback with experience except Duke. You take it on the road, you got to say, hey, you know what? We're better in Charlotte. Let's go win this thing. Well, then go do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you got those four non-conference games to start the season, a chance to build momentum. Much like Syracuse and Ohio, will it have an impact on the college football playoff? Probably not. Will it be in primetime? You know, none of that. But it's the kind of game for programs that need to have a big 21. You got to win those. So, yeah, we'll talk a lot about Clemson, yep. Georgia, Miami, in Alabama, Notre Dame, Florida State, et cetera, Virginia Tech, North Carolina. But I think there is an undercurrent of games that, quite frankly, for those respective schools, are beyond critical. And those are the two that jump out at me, Syracuse and Duke, having to take care of business on the road in week one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Teams that struggled a year ago who want to have a better start and certainly a better 2021, opening night is – that's a mindset, you know, and what was it? Emotional toughness, mental toughness. Manny Diaz was talking about in the All Access clip we just showed. Think about Syracuse and Duke. You're having to not only refine that confidence in yourself, but also confidence in the ability to go get it done. In some ways, nice challenge on the road, right?
And for even for your fans. I mean, we're all salivating over the ability, hey, I got season tickets. I can go to a stadium this year. I can tailgate. I can kind of get back to, you know, living kind of what we used to, even though we're still in the pandemic and be smart about it. You know, it's got a trickle-down effect, I think, with everything. Obviously, there's pressure on head coaches to get the job done. Teams want to win, but it trickles down to your fans. It trickles down, really, to other programs within your athletic department. When your football team's winning, it's kind of like the perfect kickstart to the 21-22 sports calendar year. So, like I said, we'll spend a lot of time. Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, Miami, Notre Dame, Florida State, Louisville, Ole Miss, Virginia Tech, Carolina. But you know what? The other games, I'm just telling you, are critical for many, many schools in this league.
Yep. All right, sit tight. 8 o'clock hour, Joe Zagacki joins us from South Florida. We'll get the latest on the Canes before the ACC football road trip tonight at 7 o'clock, and All Access follows at 8. Live to Coral Gables next on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.